This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah rahman rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, we are in the month of Ramadan al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah, 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 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month in good health. Allah gave us this month in a state, in a situation where we can fast, inshaAllah. We fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our fasting. As he mentioned, he said, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih." He said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his reward. We fast with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in expectation for his reward. Now we are in the month which comes with great goodness and blessings and with the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, in a hadith which is preserved in al-Bukhari and Muslim, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who fasts for one day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep his face away from the hellfire for 70 years, meaning for a distance covered by a journey of 70 years. Al-Bukhari or Muslim. Fasting for one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and me from the hellfire by keeping us away from it for a distance covered by in a journey of 70 years. We don't know covered by what kind of transportation we are talking about here. Allah knows best. The issue is that you will be safe from the hellfire. Uthman bin Abi al-As radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting serves as a shield from the hellfire. And this is in An-Nasai. Fasting serves as a shield from the hellfire. Abdullah ibn Amr reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting and the Quran will intercede on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slave on the day of judgment. Fasting will say, O my Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, I prevented him from food and desires during the day, so accept my intercession for him. And the Quran will say, O my Rabb, I prevented him from sleeping by night, so accept my intercession for him. The intercession of both will thus be accepted. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. My brothers and sisters, this is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we must treat with the importance that is due to it. We must not treat fasting and we must not treat Ramadan al-Kareem as just some other month and fasting as just, you know, staying away from food. We must treat this with the dignity, with the thankfulness, with the importance that is due to it. Remember, fasting is a spiritual thing. We are fasting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to fast. We have been prescribed fasting so that we become muttaqeen, which means so that we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contrary to ignorantly romantic notions, fasting in Ramadan is not prescribed to teach the wealthy what it means to be poor. Poverty is about insecurity. It's about lack of choice. It's about lack of dignity, compulsion, fear, and despair. Poverty is about living on the edge without a safety net. It's not about present hardship, but of looking ahead at a life of unending and perhaps ever-increasing deprivation. Anyone who thinks that he can know what poverty is by simply bringing breakfast forward and postponing lunch with a fridge full of goodies and special foods to break your fast with is delusional. You will never know what it is to be poor until you are poor yourself. May Allah protect us all from poverty. Ramadan al-Kareem is a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends as a boot camp to reset our lifestyles to a way that leads to success in this world and the next. And this is the beauty of Islam. Islam doesn't demand renunciation of this life in order to attain success in the hereafter. Islam shows us a way of life that guarantees us popularity influence, love, harmony, peace and prosperity in this life and Jannah in the Akhir. The key to that is the issue of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ramadan, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and Allah said, this is the reason why it has been prescribed for you. Fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon, which is people of taqwa. Now what is taqwa? Taqwa is the overriding concern never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any reason, who we love the most over and above anyone and anything else. The love of Allah is not like the love of anyone or anything else. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a combination of khashiyat of Allah, which is the awe and of the glory and majesty of Allah in the heart, and of shukr, which is thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This leads to the hub and love of Allah, which, as I said, is unlike any other emotion that we are capable of feeling. And because of this hub, because of this love, there is a fear of displeasing the one we love the most, and that fear is called taqwa. It's not fear of Allah. It is fear of displeasing the one that I love the most. Right? And that's why it's very important. So the more you love Allah, the more you fear displeasing Him. So the more the hub of Allah increases in the heart, the more the fear of displeasing Allah also will increase. Now, how do we develop this love? How do we develop this khashyah? We do it by focusing on the glory and majesty of Allah, which is how khashyah will increase. And we do it by focusing on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is how the hub of Allah will increase. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His glory and majesty in the Quran in many places. In Surah Al-Baqarah, if you read Ayat Al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His glory and majesty. Allahu la ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped but He, Jalla Jalaluhu, Hayyul Qayyum, the Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living and the one who sustains and protects all that exists, the established, neither dozing nor sleep overtake Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with Him except with His permission? He knows what happens to His creatures in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter. We ask Allah for Jannah, we ask Allah for His forgiveness. And they will never compass, they will know and never know anything of His knowledge except what He wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue and no tiredness in guarding and preserving His creatures. And He is the highest and the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself in Surah Al-Ikhlas, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He is Allah. He is the one, Al-Ahad, الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He said, He is Allah. And then He said, Allahu Samad. He is self-sufficient, He needs nothing, nothing can harm Him, nothing can benefit Him. He has no needs, He has nothing in common with His creatures. All His creatures need Him, but He does not need anything and He does not take anything from His creatures. He begets not, nor was He begotten. He has no children, He has no parents, He has no relatives, and there is no co-equal or comparable to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. This Surah Al-Ikhlas, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Himself and His glory and majesty in many other places in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us He told us to look for His glory and majesty in the kainat, in the kawniya, in all the kainat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence, for people who reflect. My brothers and sisters, the whole of the universe is an open book of Allah, which is a sign of His creation. A very good friend of mine sent me a picture just now of a nest of a robin. with three eggs in it. How beautiful. The nest is created so beautifully, so neat. It's like a cup, and there are three green colored eggs in it. First time I'm seeing robin's eggs. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat. He creates these small creatures. He gives them this ability, and they build these nests. And there's, I mean, the robin's nest compared to, for example, a weaver bird's nest is very simple. I mean, that is far more complex. You take a tailor bird, it literally stitches two leaves together using cobwebs and using other filaments and so on and so forth. I mean, it's amazing, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the smallest to the largest, from the smallest to the biggest. Today we are seeing the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One little microbe, not even a microbe, less than a microbe, a virus, one strand of RNA has brought the whole world and all its powerful people and all its, with all their wealth and with all their power and with all the stuff that they were arrogant about, one single strand of RNA has brought everything and everyone to their knees. This is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you might say, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to create this kind of thing to show his power? My point is, when was the last time you remembered Allah when everything was good? Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to slap us on the wrist for us to wake up and to turn our attention to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this for us to stop and to reflect and to think about where we are going. Right? Allah asked us, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Allah said, where are you going? We refused to answer. We said, no, wait, I'm too busy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us up against a wall. Stop, finished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now tell me, where are you going? Sit down and reflect in your lives. Look and see, what are you doing to yourself? Right? Think about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this. So let us look around and see the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that he has created. And then let us look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us individually, each one of us. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as his gifts. Right? I tell people, go look in the mirror. Just look at your face. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a good looking face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you eyes that work, a nose that works. He gave you a voice that you can speak. He gave you intelligence that you can talk some sense. He gave you ears for you, for your hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you health. He gave you a body which works. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this beautiful hadith, he said, if a person wakes up in the morning with a roof over his head, with enough food for the day, and a body which is free from sickness, it is as if the whole world has been gathered for him. Right? Just think about that. He's not saying with a fridge full of food. No, no, no. He woke up that day with his body intact, meaning he is healthy, with a roof over his head, which means that his dwelling is secure, and with enough food for that day. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is as if the whole world has been collected for that person. We must be conscious and we must be grateful. Believe me, there is something that, there's nothing to beat the attitude of gratitude. So my submission to you is, go sit down in one place, take a piece of paper and take a pen and write down all the things that you need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. There's a famous study that was done with people who are suffering from clinical depression in the University of California, where what they did with them was very simple. They just told them, every morning, wake up, after you wake up, write down 10 things that you have to be grateful for. That is the people who are clinically depressed. Just write down 10 things that you have to be grateful for. For example, I went to the toilet today and I was able to pass urine without any pain. Write it down. Right? I had a nice meal yesterday. I was able to digest it. I'm not suffering from acidity. I'm not suffering from flatulence. I'm not suffering from any stomach ailment. Write it down. Right? My bones are not, my joints are not frozen up. I don't have cramps. Write it down. Whatever it is, 10 things that you need to be grateful for every morning, write that. Within 1 month, they found that those people who were suffering from clinical depression were feeling much, much better. Doing nothing other than just noting down and being conscious of the things that they have to be grateful for. Seriously, do this as an exercise. Sit down, tell your children, tell your spouses, sit and do this as an exercise. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I go for walks here. It's all rural area, so I can go for walks. I go for walks, I literally thank Allah for every breath I take, because I'm breathing clean, 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 pure air. There's no pollution whatsoever. clean air, it's so beautiful. You take a breath, it's Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because people who are dying of COVID-19, who are dying of the coronavirus, they die of respiratory failure. They cannot breathe. So that fact that you can breathe is something to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Just like that, just because you can take a breath freely, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And if you don't know the value of that, ask somebody who is on a ventilator. They will tell you the value of what it means to be able to breathe freely. Right? Thank Allah. Now when we reflect, that is the key. The key is reflection. Reflecting on the glory and majesty of Allah, and we reflect on all that He blessed us with, and we thank Him, we begin to love Him. The more we reflect, the more we love Him. The more we love Him, the more concerned we become about never disobeying or displeasing Him. And that is taqwa, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan al-Kareem. Now, you might say, well, how is Ramadan a boot camp? Obedience is about boundaries. It's about doing what we are told to do without question. Without question, not because obedience is blind, but because we recognize and know the one who is ordering us. We obey because we know two things very clearly. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and He wants the best for us, and He knows what that is better than we know. Right? So the three things involved in that. First thing, Allah loves me, Allah wants the best for me, and Allah knows what is that best even better than I know, because sometimes I might think something is good, but there is it is not really good for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, it is possible that you may like something, but there is harm in that for you. It is possible that you may dislike something, but there is benefit in it for you. But and Allah knows, and you do not know. So Alhamdulillah, first thing is, Allah loves me, He wants the best for me, and He knows what is that best. And the second one is, that what He ordered me to do is for my benefit, because nothing can benefit and nothing can harm me. This is basic logic. And that's why I do what Allah tells me to do without question. Not because I don't have a brain, not because I'm obeying blindly, I'm obeying with my eyes wide open. I know who Allah is, I know why He's saying what He's saying, therefore I obey Him. Now if Allah does not know, and if we know more than He does, the question is, why are you worshipping Allah? In Islam, we have settled this basic question. And we know that our Creator and Sustainer wants the best for us. He knows what that is, and He told us what is good for us, and to refrain from what is bad for us, and that to Him is our return. And that's why we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan comes to remind us about obedience by making what is normally permissible prohibited during a specific time from dawn to dusk. Why is something that is normally permissible, meaning that it's beneficial for us, prohibited during this time in Ramadan? To teach us that all permissibility and prohibition is for our benefit and is from Allah. Ramadan is not only about not eating and not drinking, it's about abstaining from all negativity and negative behavior. It's from abstaining from backbiting and slander and lying and cheating and cursing and foul language and anger and arrogance. And it's not only about not initiating any of that, but I'm not even responding to it in a negative way if somebody abuses us. It's not about doing that only in Ramadan, but to inculcate this habit for the rest of our lives. And that's why I call this a boot camp. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to say, I'm fasting, to someone who yells at us, screams at us, but not to respond in kind. He said, don't say, if he screams at you, don't scream back. He just say, I'm fasting. And Asai, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you cannot control your tongues and behavior, then Allah is not in need of your hunger and thirst. There's no point in fasting. If you are going to be fasting and cursing and lying and cheating, Allah does not need that. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, fasting is a shield. So when one of you is fasting, he should neither indulge in obscene language, nor should he raise his voice in anger. If someone attacks him or insults him, let him say, I am fasting. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Ramadan is about experimenting with total behavioral change, with making a new lifestyle choice. To choose to live a life of obedience, to spread goodness around us, when we are ready to stop ourselves from doing what we normally do and enjoy, only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do so, then how much more important is it to stop ourselves from doing what Allah prohibited for us throughout our lives. And this is the essence of taqwa, which Ramadan comes to teach us in a very powerful, experiential way. That is why we need to ask if Ramadan entered us or if we entered Ramadan. If we enter Ramadan, we will exit on the 30th of Ramadan. If Ramadan entered us, then it will remain in our hearts and our lives throughout the year. The spirit of obedience, which is Ramadan, is the key to success in this life and the next. That is what must enter our hearts. To obey joyfully and eagerly because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is taqwa. Now when the slave gets close to his Rabb, it is only natural that he asks about him and feels connected to him. See the mercy of Allah. Allah said in the middle of the ayat related to taqwa, to fasting, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Which means, when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then answer them, I am indeed near to them by my knowledge. I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. Ramadan is the month of dua, of asking Allah, of telling him your story. He knows it, but you still tell him, because that is the essence of ubudiyat. Learn to make dua. Create your own style of asking dua, of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't put any conditions on making dua. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any language, in any state, in any condition, anywhere, anyhow. It makes perfect sense not to have any conditions about making dua, because the slave asks when he is in dire need. And so he or she must be free to ask in any way and from anywhere. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the best way of doing that, so by all means follow that. He told us the best time for acceptance of dua, so follow that. But there is no condition to say that unless you make dua at a particular time, it will not be accepted. No, there are some times for the greater acceptance of dua, but dua is accepted at any time. And remember, ask Allah and ask Allah alone. Remember how what Allah said. Allah said, فَاسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Let him obey me and have faith in me. Conditions for acceptance of dua. My brothers and sisters, obedience starts with making a choice to change our ways, to repent our transgressions, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive every transgression and every sin of anyone who comes to Him with sincere repentance. My brothers and sisters, it is seriously, the crowning glory of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, the worship in which is better than continuous worship for 1,000 months. Better, not equal, continuous, better than continuous worship for 1,000 months. How much better? In keeping with the glory and majesty of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we have sent it, this Quran, down in the night of Al-Qadr, and what will make you know, how will you know what is Laylatul Qadr? The Laylatul Qadr, night of Qadr, the decree is better than 1,000 months of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therein descend the angels and ar-ruh, which is Jibreel as-salam, by Allah's permission, with all decrees. Peace, salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr, peace and tranquility until the appearance of dawn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, who asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what dua she should make if she were to find Laylatul Qadr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha reported, this is in Tirmidhi, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I get Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I make? He said, you should make dua. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbu al'afu fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. I make this dua for myself and you. Allahumma innaka afuwan kareem tuhibbu al'afu fa'fu anna. Ya Allah, forgive all of us. I remind myself and you that all goodness comes from making thoughtful choices. Ramadan comes to enable us to do that, to recognize the glory and magnificence of Allah, to seek comfort and courage in His mercy and forgiveness, and to remember that one day we will meet Him and answer to Him. On that day, nothing that anyone can do can change anything except their deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.